We're talking Canberra. Two double C. We're talking Canberra.
A 2CC Tim Shaw podcast.
This new organisation called the National Secular Lobby has been set up as a new voice in secular politics. They're focusing on the separation between church and state, and they've made a submission to the former Attorney General, grandfather of the House, Philip Ruddock. He's conducting a review into religious freedoms. And the question I guess listeners to the program had this morning, what are religious freedoms? To discuss this, Jane Caro, spokesperson for the National Secular Lobby. She's on the line now. Jane, welcome to 2CC Breakfast.
Thank you very much for having me, Tim.
Tell us who founded the National Secular Lobby. What's it all about?
Well, Brian Morris is behind it. It's a group of people who are concerned about the kind of push for more religiosity in our society, which means it's not anti-religion in any way at all, or anti-religious people or people of faith, but simply aware that it's incredibly important that we have both freedom of religion, so that you could choose which particular religion you happen to follow, but also freedom from religion, particularly in the areas of our life that have very little to do with religion and are really the secular space, where all of us of different faiths and no faiths have an equal say.
Yeah, it's interesting. Can I take you to the Victorian decision of their parliament to allow for voluntary assisted dying? Former Australian Prime Minister Paul Keating turned 74 yesterday, agreed with and lined up with Tony Abbott, both of them saying a slippery slope relating to Victorian upper house support for the voluntary assisted dying legislation, which is now law in Victoria. Now, both men, former prime ministers, both strong Catholics.
Yeah.
Are their religious views irrelevant on a matter for the Victorian legislature?
No, nobody's views are irrelevant, but nobody's views should have more weight than anyone else's. So I have no problem with Paul Keating or Tony Abbott expressing their opinion. And indeed, as long as they go to their constituents with their views when they stand for election and are very clear on them, they have every right to be elected to Parliament with, you know, holding those views and to vote accordingly if that's what their constituencies want. However, it's when that overwhelms what their constituencies may want and when there is a kind of special pleading that because a religious group doesn't believe in a certain thing, that law should apply to everyone, because after all, there's nothing compulsory about voluntary assisted dying, there's nothing compulsory about same-sex marriage. And in another contentious area, there's nothing compulsory about taking advantage of reproductive rights. If you have a philosophical or religious objection to any of those things, you are free to refuse to use them. The difficulty is that then some groups of religious people seem to view that they therefore have a right to say to others who may not agree with them, however, you may not use them either. And that is where the National Secular Lobby would part company with them.
Do we need freedom from religion as well as freedom of religion, Jane Caro?
Absolutely we do, and that is in fact what the separation of church and state is all about. And it is a very, very important fundamental basis of democracy that we do not become a soft theocracy, which Australia is sort of hovering on the brink of at the moment and has been for a very long time. We don't have the same rigid separation of powers as perhaps the US does, which is odd given that there are many, many more people who are deeply religious in the US than there are in Australia.
You know, it's interesting when we think of the debate last year and a lobby group known as the Australian Christian Lobby. They received a $1 million donation from the Anglican Church, I should say, Jane. And there was comment for and against that donation, as much as the right of Alan Joyce, the CEO of Qantas. He got a pretty large paycheck last year. He wrote out a donation for the Yes campaign. Are we saying that Religious organisations under a lobby group called the Australian Christian Lobby should have more or less right to be able to lobby federal politicians like a mining interest. You know, Gina Rinehart lobbied federal government politicians regarding the mining tax. We've got the supermarket lobby that exists here. What makes religious lobby groups any different to any other lobby group?
Well, nothing that I can see, but I think that there's a whole other conversation that perhaps Australia should be having about the influence of powerful lobby groups, whether they be from religious churches or from other very wealthy institutions.
Yes.
Because I think there is another argument that could be very coherently made that this warps our democracy in very many ways, but I think that possibly is a slightly different argument from the one we're having about the separation of church and state, and particularly this review into religious freedom.
Do you know your website, nationalsecularlobby.org, has a very, very, very important statement from former Minister and Labor Senator Chris Schott. You know, Chris has got some very interesting things to say here about this. I believe that we need to have this conversation, but what have you and what has the National Secular Lobby said in your submission to Philip Ruddock?
Well, we've made a very clear expression of the religious freedoms that the churches already have, which are greater than freedoms that any other organisation has. For example, religious organisations do not pay tax in Australia, which is a hell of a freedom, and which many others would be interested in enjoying if only they could. The other, of course, major freedom that they enjoy is already a statutory exemption to the Anti-Discrimination Act. Not only the Federal Anti-Discrimination Act, but also the Anti-Discrimination Acts of the states. In other words, church organisations can already discriminate against people in terms of both employment and service, and they have been able to do so for a very long time.
And you're not arguing that there should be any changes in regards to that?
Well, I think that there are some arguments being made, perhaps not by the National Secular Lobby directly, that whilst they could perhaps keep the exemptions from the Anti-Discrimination Act, that those exemptions should be made a great deal more overt. For example, many people who decide to send their children to a faith school may not understand that that faith school does not necessarily hire the best teacher for the job, but will hire the teacher who conforms to their religious view and who does not, say, is not in a same-sex relationship, it's not, married after being divorced or has different religious beliefs from the school. They may not be aware that they have those kinds of discriminatory employment practices, and they may not be aware that indeed they may exclude possible students on basis like that.
I know how important education is for you, and you have been a great author in this regard, and of course you are actually on the board of New South Wales Public Education. Would you contend that some of the faith-based schools, or frankly any schools, should have effectively a charter of belief so that parents can make an informed decision? Our teachers here at this school do not believe in the following: same-sex marriage, voluntary assisted dying. Is that something that there should be more transparency about, Jane Currow?
Well, I certainly think there should be more transparency in religious organisations about what they discriminate against, the reason they discriminate against it, and who they will employ and who they won't employ. I mean, it is a very big thing for someone to apply for a job that they have no hope of getting.
Mm.
And they have no idea they have no hope of getting, because none of this is made clear and overt, and I think that it should be. I think if they want the right to discriminate, okay, fair enough. But make it absolutely clear on all your advertising material, all your prospectus, all your job ads, we discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, marital status, religious belief, whatever it is, so that people are aware what they're buying and they're also aware of what they're applying for and what chance they've got to get it. At the moment, people don't understand this clearly. So I think, you know, there is an argument to say that a faith-based organisation should have a right to employ people, particularly if they are engaged in proselytising their particular faith, who are believers. But we need to be really clearly informed as the public so that we can make a public choice. And I think the National Secular Lobby is certainly keen to see much more transparency in this area than we have had up until now. But no, we are not overtly asking for any of these freedoms to be restricted that currently exist, but we are making the argument that there is absolutely no reason why religious groups should argue that they are somehow discriminated against. They clearly are not. They are getting extra freedoms that average Australians don't have, and that they therefore require more freedoms. It is a very odd argument, I think, to say that you are being discriminated against if you don't have the right to discriminate against others. That is a hard, logical and rational argument to put with any conviction, but it seems to be the one that has been argued for some time by some religious organisations and groups.
And, of course, the National Secular Lobby launched on Monday, the 15th of January this week. Look forward to seeing you when you're next in Canberra, Jane, and it'll be lovely to catch up with you in the studio. And thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Tim, and I'd love to do that.
Great. Jane Caro, spokesperson for the National Secular Lobby. If you want to know more, nationalsecularlobby.org.